I'd like you to turn with me this evening to the Song of Solomon. Song of Solomon and to the second chapter. I'd like to thank your minister, Reverend Brown, very much for the invitation and the opportunity to come once again to Ravenhill Road and to the church here in the Martyrs. It's good to be here and to renew fellowship with our brother and with the folk of the congregation here. And I do bring you greetings from our work in Port Hope, Ontario. I have been here on other occasions, as you know, and I've given a brief report of the work and the witness. Port Hope's about 60 miles east of the city of Toronto. Ours is a small congregation, about 20 to 24 people. We've been there ministering for 25 years. Been in Canada now. Next month will be our anniversary of 28 years. And really it doesn't seem like 28, it seems like more like 8. And of course it's always good to get home again and back to Ulster. And we appreciate the opportunity to preach around some of our churches. Just to give you an update, we have been praying for some time that the Lord would send us in 6 new families. We had the beginning of last year, a couple who came, a retired couple. Wee man, he's from Scotland originally, and he and his wife come more or less every Lord's Day morning, not saved. But he loves coming to the church. And then in the middle of the year, July time, we got another family. This time a family of 6, mother and father and 4 grown-up children, 2 daughters and 2 sons. And they have been a tremendous encouragement to us. They live about an hour and 15, 20 minutes from the church. They came the first time, Lord's Day morning. And then the next time, they were there and found a little bit more out about them, told me where they lived. And then the following Lord's Day, the mother and father were back again at night. And I said to the father, I said, did you go home and come back again? He says, yeah, we did. Well, I says, I want you to know, I really appreciate you making the effort to come in the morning, go home, come back again at night. Because really that meant to be in the Lord's house twice on the Lord's day, they would travel for 5 hours. 2.5 in the morning, 2.5 at night. When I said to the head of the house, Peter you call him, thanked him for coming back again the evening. Well, he's a big man, and when I said that to him, his eyes filled up with tears. And he reached out his hand to shake hands with me. He says, I want you to know, we have been looking for a church like this for years. We come here and we hear the word. I found out later that they had even traveled across the border into the States, drove across the border into the States to find a church where they felt comfortable enough to worship. Couldn't find any place, and they were watching sermon audio, various churches and ministers. And then one day one of his daughters said, Dad, we need to find a church of our own. We can't just sit at home all the time. So he went on to Sermon Audio and searched for the church and found Port Hope Free Presbyterian Church. They've been coming to us ever since, making that double run. And the particular work that the man Peter is involved in, he travels a lot during the week, sometimes not home until the early hours of the Sabbath day. But he and his wife and family still come, make the effort. They had every excuse to stay at home, say, "Oh, we're tired." Well, they've just been a very good encouragement to us. So do please continue to pray for the other four families. We've been praying for six. Pray for the other four now. We know the Lord can send in 40 as well as four. We had a little discouragement there before we left. We've had a lot of snow this year, especially in the month of February. Had a foot of snow inside 2 weeks. Then on the Saturday night before we left, it was freezing rain. And then in the middle of the night, the temperature went up. And that meant the freezing rain turned to water. The snow turned to water. And there was nowhere for it to go because the ground was so hard. Nowhere for it to go except into the basement of our church. And we were not able to have our morning worship that morning. It was a case of getting all hands on deck and getting the folk in the church to come downstairs and move the furniture and so forth and try and mop up the water in the basement. We were able to have an evening service. And then on the Wednesday, our son Aaron contacted us to say, "Dad, it has happened again, only this time it's worse." And where just the fact that at 2 rooms and the basement, and really that's where the children are taught. We have a Christian school, as you know. And so that's part of the school building in the basement. We had to, the teachers had to cancel the Monday school day and start in again and try and get the basement dried out. And of course you put the heat on to dry out the basement, and then you get the smell and the mold and all the rest of it, and that's something we have to attend to whenever we go back again when we travel home, Lord willing, tomorrow. So you might remember that matter in your prayers, that we'll be able to get it all sorted out. Our son contacted the insurance company, and you know what insurance companies are like. Send you a list of disclaimers. You know, you can't claim if this happens, that happens, that happens. And so I looked at all their points and their paragraphs that didn't hold out much hope that the insurance company is going to cover us. But anyway, we'll have to wait and see till we get home. So you might remember that matter in your prayers. And again, we thank you for your prayers in the past. And do continue to pray. I'd like to see a real breakthrough in the town. It's called Port Hope. We found out very soon after we went to Port Hope, those involved in religious activity said it's the port of no hope because it's so hard. But we all know nothing's too hard for the Lord. It used to be a Baptist church before it became Free Presbyterian. And I was told that no pastor stayed in that church more than 3 years. Found it so hard, they just moved on after 3 years. Well, the Lord's given us grace to last that out for 25 years. And we're looking to him now to build his church. We know the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Thank you for listening, and thank your minister again for the opportunity to be here this evening. We're turning to the Song of Solomon. Song of Solomon, one of my favorite books of the Bible. Sadly, it is a book that is greatly neglected by many Christians. There is different reasons why they don't read the Song of Solomon. Oh, it's too hard to understand. It's too difficult to know who is speaking about who. Well, the Song of Solomon has two principal characters. There is the bride and her beloved. Of all the books in the Bible, the Song of Solomon presents to us Christ in a most wonderful way. The Song of Solomon is all about the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a great love story. The bride's love for her beloved and the beloved's love for her. In other words, it's Christ and his love for the church and the church's love for him. Throughout the Song of Solomon, you'll find that the bride says, "My beloved is." What the beloved is to her. She says, "My beloved is." You read through the Song of Solomon and you'll come across that phrase 7 times. Isn't that interesting? 7 times the bride says, regarding her beloved, "My beloved is," and then goes on to describe him. We know that 7 is the number of perfection, the number of completeness. And so when she says, "My beloved is," she's speaking about someone who's perfect. Someone who is complete. In other words, she's saying, "I have my beloved. I don't need anyone else and I don't need anything else. He is my beloved. And my beloved is," and then goes on to describe what he is to her. We know that Solomon, we're told in 1 Kings 4, verse 32, he spake 3,000 proverbs, and his songs were 1,005. His songs were 1,005. And what's this book called? You look at the opening chapter. It's the Song of Songs. And so Solomon wrote 1,005 songs. And the one that exalts Christ, the one that says the most about Christ, about the beloved, is called the Song of Songs. Of all the songs Solomon wrote, this is the Song of Songs. Why? Because it's all about Christ. He is our song, isn't he? He is the song of our lips, the song of our heart, the song of our soul. And here in the 2nd chapter, the bride is once again describing what her beloved is to her. Now we read the Song of Solomon and some of the ways that she describes her beloved, we may find strange. But if I were to ask you to describe what Jesus Christ is to you, what language would you use? And when you read the Song of Solomon and see the descriptions of the beloved, yeah, you may say it's strange how she describes her beloved. But when you come to love the Lord Jesus, how can you put that into words? It's as if our English vocabulary is so limited when it comes to describing Christ. And so how would we describe the Lord? How would we put into words how we love him? And how lovely he is to us. We'll not read all of the chapter. But notice, chapter begins, "I am the rose of Sharon." There's Christ speaking. That's the beloved speaking. He says, "I am the rose of Sharon and the lily of the valleys. As the lily among thorn, so is my love among the daughters." So he's speaking about his love. His love is his bride. Now we come to verse 3, and it's the bride who's speaking. If you like, it's the Christian speaking about Christ. And here in verse 3, she says, as the apple tree among the trees of the wood, so is my beloved. There it is again. Is my beloved, or my beloved is. This is what he is. This is what the beloved was to the bride. She says, as the apple tree among the trees of the wood, so is my beloved among the sons. I sat down under his shadow with great delight, and his fruit was sweet to my taste. He brought me to the banqueting house, and his banner over me is love. Stay me with flagons, comfort me with apples, for I am sick of love. In other words, she was lovesick for Christ. Have you ever been lovesick for Christ? Young girl falls in love with an individual, a young boy, and she cannot do without him. She's lovesick. Wants to be with him all the time. Well, here's the bride, and she is saying, he brought me into his banqueting house. His banner over me is love. Stay me with flagons. Comfort me with apples, for I am sick of love. I'm in love with him. I'm sick of love. I'm lovesick for Christ. His left hand is under my head, and his right hand doth embrace me. I charge you, O ye daughters of Jerusalem, by the rose and by the hinds of the field, that ye stir not up nor awake my love till he please. She didn't want to do anything that would disturb him or offend him. And surely that's the way we are with Christ. We'll end the reading there and pray the Lord will bless the word as we consider it with the Lord's help. Bless it to our hearts tonight. Let's just unite in prayer. Eternal Father and gracious God, we come to thee this night. We thank thee that, Lord, we're in the house of God in prayer meeting night. Thou hast said men ought always to pray and not to faint. And, O Lord God, we're here this night to spend time with thee, to spend time with thyself. Yea, Lord, we know we'll meet with others, we'll meet with our brothers and sisters in Christ, but we're here primarily to meet with the Savior, to meet with our beloved, our beloved. What a lovely name for Christ, our beloved. Lord, I ask that thou would bless this work and the witness and the ministry of the Reverend Brown. May he know the fullness of the Holy Spirit each time he preaches the word. Grant to me, Lord, that fullness. Grant to me, Lord, the help of the Holy Spirit of God tonight. We might preach the word, and in preaching the word, we will always, always preach Christ. We do ask these things in the Lord's name and for his glory alone. Amen. Here we find once again the bride, as she has done elsewhere and indeed throughout the song. She makes it clear that as far as she is concerned, there is no one like her beloved. As we read in verse 3, as the apple tree among the trees of the wood, so is my beloved among the sons. I sat down under his shadow with great delight, and his fruit was sweet to my taste. She was not just repeating something that somebody else said. No. She is speaking from experience. As the apple tree among the trees of the wood, so is my beloved among the sons of men. I sat down under his shadow with great delight, and his fruit was sweet to my taste. She's speaking from experience. It's not as if she's read about the beloved in a book somewhere or in a scroll somewhere. No, she's speaking from experience. So when someone speaks about all that is to be found in Christ, it's always good to be able to speak from experience. So when someone like the apostle said, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, Ephesians 3, verse 9, to know the love of Christ. That's very different from knowing about the love of Christ. Paul was able to say that he experienced the love of Christ. He says, I know. I can tell you what I know. And Paul, throughout his earthly, his ministry, spoke from experience with regard to Christ. Here he speaks about the love of Christ. He can speak about the loyalty of Christ. As we read, at my first answer, no man stood with me, but all men forsook me. Notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me. Speaking from experience. The Lord stood with me and strengthened me, 2 Timothy 4, 16 and 17. And so when he spoke about living in Christ, speaking from experience, because he said, for to me to live is Christ. He knew what it was to live in Christ. He spoke from experience. Now here's the bride. And she's speaking from experience. And the apple tree among the trees of the wood, so is my beloved. Among the sons, I sat down under his shadow with great delight, and his fruit was sweet to my taste. As we look at the apple tree, as the apple tree, so is my beloved among the sons of men. In other words, the bride is saying, my beloved is more to me than all the sons of men. In other words, she's saying, there's nobody like him. Praise the Lord. Not right. There's nobody like him. As the apple tree among the trees of the wood, so is my beloved. So here she speaks about the apple tree as a type of Christ. We notice, first of all, the apple tree and its setting. She doesn't speak about an apple tree in a garden. No, she says, as the apple tree among the trees of the wood. She goes on to say, so is my beloved among the sons. First thing we have here regarding the setting is its location. Its location. As far as the bride was concerned, the apple tree stood out among all the trees of the wood. And so her beloved stood out among all the sons of men. He stood out. As Paul tells us, who being in the form of God thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation and took upon himself the form of a servant and was made, what? In the likeness of men. He was made in the likeness of men. He walked amongst men. He sat with men. He talked to men. He ministered to men. He wept as man weeps. He was weary as men are weary. He thirsted as men thirst. He slept as men slept. But as the bride looked upon her beloved, as far as she was concerned, There's nobody like him. He was the man of men. He was the man of men. The Word was made flesh and dwelt amongst us. We beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And all who saw Christ beheld his glory. They beheld his glory in his ministry. What did they say? Never man spake like this man. They'd heard the Pharisees, the scribes, the Sadducees. But when they heard Christ, they said, never man spake like this man. Superior to all men. They beheld his glory in his miracles. Luke 8, verse 25. What manner of man is this? For he commandeth even the winds and the water, and they obey him. They saw his glory in his miracles. They saw his glory in his ministry. They saw his glory in his message. And they were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one that had authority and not as the scribes. See, he is man, but he's different. He is man, but he's superior. He is man, but he is greater. As the apple tree among the trees of the wood, so is my beloved among the sons. That's why all who know him and are speaking from experience will say there's none like him. He is more gentle, more gracious. There's more goodness to be found in him than all the sons of men. There's more grace found in the Lord. 2 Corinthians 10, verse 1, Paul says, I beseech you therefore, listen, by the meekness and gentleness of Christ. Many could you say that about? The meekness and gentleness of Christ. As well as the location, we notice the lowliness. Again, consider the apple tree being found among the trees of the wood. And in that wood, we might find the mighty cedars of Lebanon. A magnificent evergreen often grew 120 feet in height and about 40 feet in girth. The cedars of Lebanon. What a magnificent tree. Or in that wood, perhaps there was the chestnut. Stately tree thriving along the streams and the rivers of Israel. Or perhaps in the wood would grow the magnificent oak, the symbol of strength. Now, in the midst of all those trees, stands the apple tree. There you have the lowliness of the apple tree. There stands the mighty cedar, there stands the stately chestnut, and there stands the magnificent oak. In the midst of them all stands the lowly apple tree. What did the bride say? As the apple tree among the trees of the wood, so is my beloved among the sons of men. speaking about his lowliness. That's why she loved him. That's why she was sick of love. She loved his lowliness. Isn't that how we see our beloved? For he said of himself, I am meek and lowly of heart. Paul tells us how he's holy, harmless, undefiled, and separate from sinners. Paul goes on to tell us, being found in the fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. He humbled himself. The lowly Christ. Wherever you look, you see his lowliness. Born into a poor family, they weren't able to afford a lamb for the sacrifice in the temple. They were allowed to take two turtle doves. And there's the Son of God, lying in a manger, not in a palace, lying in a manger. Born into a poor home. There's the lowliness of Christ. Can we not say then tonight, this is my beloved, this is my friend. As the apple tree among the trees of the wood, so is my beloved among the sons of men. There's his lowliness. We see it there in his cradle and in his grave, among the proud, self-centered, self-exalting, self-promoting cedars of the world. There stands the apple tree. Christ. And that apple tree is even our beloved. Let the bride tell us again then. Tell us again. And she says, as the apple tree among the trees of the wood, so is my beloved among the sons. And she was speaking from experience. And all here tonight who love the Lord can speak from experience and say the same thing. My beloved is the apple tree among the trees of the wood. There's nobody like him. Praise his name. The location among the trees of the wood. The lowliness. An apple tree among those magnificent trees of the wood. But then there's the loveliness. The beloved has already described himself as the rose of Sharon and the lily of the valleys. Isn't there something about a rose? You're automatically attracted to a rose. And in preparation for Mother's Day coming up this weekend, the supermarkets have all those flowers. And in the midst of all, there's the rose, and you're sort of attracted to it. Well, here the Lord says, I am the rose of Sharon. I am the lily of the valleys. Notice, he's the lily not of the valley. He's the lily of the valleys, plural. In other words, it doesn't matter what valley you or I are in, whether it's the valley of sorrow or the valley of disappointment or the valley of discouragement, praise the Lord, the lily is there. Christ is there. He's the lily of the valleys. And all the valleys you and I, believer, may find ourselves in through life, you'll find the lily there. even Christ. Does that not make him very dear unto us? So he's the rose of Sharon, he's the lily of the valleys, and we think of the rose and we think of the lily and we think of loveliness and we think of beauty. We think of the apple tree. And isn't there a time of the year when the apple tree blossoms? And I know in County Armagh, a lot of apple orchards. And whenever the apple trees are blooming, people will go there just one errand to see the beauty of the apple tree in bloom. They behold the loveliness of the apple tree. And in harvest time, is there not a loveliness about the tree, the apple tree, laden down with fruit? You see the loveliness of the apple tree. And here the bride says, as the apple tree among the trees of the wood, so is my beloved among the sons. My beloved is beautiful. He's lovely. That's what she's saying. There's nobody like him among the sons of men. There's nobody as handsome and as lovely and as beautiful as her beloved among all the sons of men. And isn't there a loveliness and a beauty about the Lord Jesus Christ that we will never see anywhere else? Never. We'll not see the loveliness that's found in Christ anywhere else, no matter where we look. No matter where we look at Christ, we see his loveliness. Doesn't matter how we behold him. There's not a blemish to be found in his life. There's not a flaw to be found in his character. There's not a fault to be found in his words, in his action, in his deeds. Sure, didn't his enemies say, I find no fault in him? And no matter where you look, he's lovely. You know, you're familiar with the fifth chapter of the Song of Solomon. The bride has gone out into the streets to seek her beloved. And she comes across those out in the streets. And she says to them, I charge you, O daughters of Jerusalem, if you find my beloved, that you tell him that I am sick of love. And they say, what is thy beloved more than another beloved, O thou fairest among women? What is thy beloved more than another beloved that thou dost so charge us? And she starts, my beloved is white and ruddy, the chiefest among 10,000. You read down the rest of the chapter, and she describes her beloved. And as I said in my opening remarks, how would you describe Christ? How would you put into words what Christ is to you? Well, here she put into words what her beloved meant to her. And then she comes to the end of the description. And what does she say? She says, his mouth is most sweet. Yea, he is altogether lovely. This is my beloved. And this is my friend, daughters of Jerusalem. I read that fifth chapter, when I come to that verse 16, I have in my mind, this bride has done her best to describe her beloved. And by the time she gets to verse 16, she's run out of superlatives. She's exhausted her vocabulary. And the best she can do to finish off is to say, he's altogether loved. Altogether. He's lovely in every part of him. He's altogether lovely. We say to the bride, what is your beloved to you? As the apple tree among the trees of the wood, so is my beloved among the sons of men. You have the setting, and then you have the shelter. Speaking about the apple tree, the bride goes on to say, I sat down under his shadow with great delight. So she speaks about the apple tree as a place for shelter and shade from the burning sun. I sat down under his shadow with great delight. Notice, first of all, her posture. Doesn't say she stood under the apple tree. She sat down. There's her posture. Does that posture of hers not speak to us of peace and rest? Know you've been weary after a day's work? Or you've spent the day worrying about something and concerned about something, and you've come home at night and you've laid down in the easy chair. You say, I'm glad I'm home. I'm glad to get a rest. Well, here she is, and she's sitting down under the shade of the apple tree. That's what the bride received and experienced when she sat down under the shade of the apple tree. She experienced peace. She sheltered from the burning heat of the day. She was able to sit down, and she found peace. And she found in her beloved a peace and a rest that none of the sons of men could give her. As the apple tree among the trees of the wood, so is my beloved among the sons of men. I sat down under his shadow with great delight. And she was saying, nobody else could give me this peace or this rest. Sure isn't our beloved just like that? Isn't that what he gives to us? Doesn't he give us peace and rest? Don't we find ourselves running to him to shelter in Christ? And we find shelter in him from the burning heat of the trials of the day and the trials of the week. And we go to him, and there we find peace. We abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Hallelujah. During the long days when Job suffered loss, the loss of family, the loss of friends, the loss of health, the Lord himself tells us what Job did. In Job 40, verses 21 and 22, he says, he lieth under the shady trees. The shady trees cover him with their shade. He found peace and rest from all his troubles. found it under the shade of the trees. That's what the bride has in mind. I sat down under his shadow or shade with great delight. She found peace. As we read in Isaiah 25 and verse 4, "For thou hast been a strength to the poor, a strength to the needy in his distress, a refuge from the storms, a shadow from the heat, when the blast of the terrible ones as a storm against the wall, a shadow from the heat." Don't you wonder when you hear of the unconverted going through their trials and their troubles and they don't have the Lord, and you wonder how they get through. But here we are, believer. We have our beloved, and in our trials, when the storms of life come upon us and we suffer the burning heat of the midday sun, where do we go? We can go to Christ. We'll run to him, and what do we find there? We find shelter, we find shade, we find peace, and we find rest. Boy, isn't he a wonderful Savior. Aren't you glad you have Christ as your beloved? The Lord himself said, "I am meek and lowly in heart. Ye shall find rest for your souls." As well as her posture, you have her place. The bride says, "I sat down under his shadow or shade with great delight." She didn't go and seek rest and solace by sitting down under the shade of any of the trees of the wood, the big cedar or the oak tree. No, she chose the humble apple tree. Likewise, among the sons of men, there's only one to whom we can go to where we will find rest. And that's to our beloved. He is our high priest, our great high priest. He's touched with the feelings of our infirmities, tempted in all points like as we are, yet without sin. Touched. I love that verse. That word touched. The word touched means to enter into. You know what it's like. Someone has perhaps lost a loved one, and your heart goes out to them, and you visit with them, and you put your arm around them, and you say to them, "I'm so sorry for your trouble. I'll be praying for you." And no doubt that bereaved individual appreciates your support. But, that's as far as we can go, isn't it? We can enter into the heart. We can't bind up the broken heart. But Christ can. He's touched. That word means that he enters into. In other words, listen. In other words, your tears are his tears. Your sorrow is his sorrow. Your burden is his burden. Nobody else can do that. Nobody else can draw as near to you as that. Nobody else can enter into your heart. No wonder 7 times in the Song of Solomon the bride said, "My beloved is." He's perfect. He's complete. There's nothing lacking in him. Who else can give to us the peace of God that passeth all understanding? None but Jesus. Who else can give us rest for our troubled hearts? None but Jesus. Who else can make the claim, "Peace I leave with you"? "I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." Nobody else can do that. I proved, my wife and I proved the truth of those words earlier on last year, later last. Our eldest son, Glenn, had open heart surgery. It was an anxious time for us all. After the surgery was over, we were around his bed. Of course, he didn't know we were there, all the wires and tubes coming out of him. And the nurse said to us about 6 o'clock in the evening, said, "You might as well go home, because we'll not be wakening him up until tomorrow morning. But you can call and find out how he's doing." Doreen called at 2 o'clock in the morning, and the report was, "He's having trouble breathing. The blood pressure went down to 0. When I heard that, as a father, anxious and worried, and was praying, "Lord, bring him through." And then suddenly, as if the Lord was right there, and so he was, of course, the words came to me, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me." There I was, concerned and worried about our son's heart, and the Lord says to me, "Let not your heart be troubled. Let not your heart be troubled." And the peace flooded. As if the Lord was saying, "Don't let your heart be troubled. It's all right. It's going to be all right." It was that night as if we sat down under the shadow of the apple tree. And what did he give us? He gave us peace. Praise his name. Why? Because he is the God of peace. As the apple tree among the trees of the woods, so is my beloved among the sons of men. You have her posture, you have her peace, and you have her pleasure. The bride said that she sat down under his shadow with great delight. Great delight. There's her pleasure. In other words, it was a delight to her to find peace and protection from her beloved. The word delight may be translated desire. Desire. That's what she had for her beloved. She had a desire for her beloved, and she had a delight in her beloved. In her unsaved days, we are described by the prophet Isaiah, Isaiah 53 and verse 2, "There is no beauty that we should desire him." Same word. Us, when we're in our sin, and our eyes hadn't been opened, and we hadn't seen the beauty of Christ. There was no desire in our heart for him then, but all is a change now. Different now, isn't it? We delight in him now. We desire him now. Christ is now the one we take pleasure in being with. We take delight in his company when we sense his nearness. Have you ever been in a meeting like that? You ever been in one of those meetings and you feel the Lord sitting right beside you? Such is the sense of his presence. And boy, doesn't it delight your soul. And you desire more of him. We take delight in his company. We take delight in him. We take delight in fellowshipping with him. We just take delight in who he is. Just a moment and I'm finished. You have the apple tree in its setting, the apple tree in its shelter, and the apple tree in its sweetness. His sweetness. Here the bride speaks about a fruit bearing tree. Not all the other trees in the wood bore fruit, but the apple tree did. She wouldn't get any fruit from any of the other trees, but she would from the apple tree. And she wouldn't get any fruit from the sons of men, but she would from her beloved. There was no sweetness to be found among the sons of men, but that fruit, that sweetness was found in her beloved. And what do you have there? First of all, you have the fact. The fact. Remember, the bride is speaking from experience. She has tasted the fruit of the apple tree and found it to be sweet. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed are all they that put their trust in him. Taste and see. Remember listening to a sermon of W.P. Nicholson. And he says, I could tell you how sweet honey is, but you'll never know how sweet honey is until you taste it yourself. We can tell others how sweet Christ is, but they'll never know until they taste of him themselves. And you know what they'll say to us? They'll say, friend, you didn't tell me the half of it. As the Queen of Sheba met with Solomon, when she met with him and fellowship with him and communed with him, she says, the half was not told me. But listen, a greater than Solomon is here. A greater than Solomon is here. And the fact is, there is a sweetness about Christ. Is there not a sweetness about him? His fruit, she says, is sweet to my taste. I was encouraged when your minister in his prayer tonight mentioned those words, my meditation of thee is sweet. That just confirmed. I had the right word. My meditation of thee is sweet, and it's not true. Do you ever do that? Do you ever lie in your bed at night and just think about the Lord? Meditate on him. Nothing else. Just think about him. And when you do so, don't you taste his sweet? Like the manna that came down from heaven and lay upon the ground for the Israelites in the wilderness. How was it described? It was described like wafers made with honey. And you go to John 6 and verses 48 to 51. Christ says, he's the manna from heaven.
What do you think of that?
The manna in the wilderness was like wafers made with honey. And Christ says, well, I'm the manna come down from heaven. Well, if the manna in the wilderness was sweet as honey, Christ is sweeter than honey. He's sweet in every way. How sweet are thy words unto my taste, yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Well, sure, Christ is the Word. And if the psalmist spoke about the Word being sweet to his taste, well, Christ is the Word. And Christ is sweet to us. As the apple tree among the trees of the wood, so is my beloved among the sons of men. I sat down under his shadow with great delight. Praise his name. Amen.